Please open God's word with me to Genesis chapter 11. We'll read Genesis 11 from the verses 1 to 9, then skip ahead to 27 and read through to 12, verse 3. So beginning at Genesis 11, verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we'd be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, or Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Moving ahead to verse 27. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram his wife, or his son, and Sarai Terah took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Our text for the sermon is those first three verses of Genesis 12. I'll read those once more. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." After the sermon, we'll sing number 22D, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, has God ever spoken to you? Has God ever called you? I mean you, personally, each one of you. A personal call from God. We read in Genesis 12, verse 1, that this is what Abram experiences. A personal word from the Lord. Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram. God calls Abram to leave behind what he knows and loves in this world. He says, come, follow me. Some 2,000 years later, God said the same thing. This time it was through his son that God preached the gospel. Come, follow me, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And today, another 2,000 years later, that call comes to us through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. God says to us, to you in Christ, come, follow me. The call of God and the gospel is a call to radical trust. And that call goes out into this world today. And it comes wherever God's word comes. It's a personal call from God, addressed to you personally. And yet it's also a public call, addressed to the world. Wherever God's word goes out, come, follow me. So this morning I bring you the good news of Jesus Christ with this theme from our text in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. God's gospel call and promise for Abram, for you, and for the world. And we'll consider this in two parts. First, the call, follow me. And second, the promise, I will bless. In the chapter before these verses, we have the story of Babel, which we read together. People have united against God to build their own kingdom. They build a great tower for themselves. They want to show that they can make themselves great. They don't need God. They think that's what the tower says. They say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord stops the building. He confuses the language and scatters them. So here is the human race, scattered, fragmented, alienated from God, and dead in trespasses and sins. This is the state of the world as it was when God, by his word, called to a man named Abram, come, follow me. If we consider the world we live in today, is it really much different? Aren't there people all around us trying to build their own little kingdoms? Trying to live their lives without God as their king? But we don't even have to look around us, do we? Ephesians chapter 2 says, all of us, we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. By nature, we all try to build our own kingdoms. We all, by nature, want to be kings and queens in control of our own destiny. This is the state of our hearts by nature when God, by his word, calls to us, come, follow me. God calls Abram from among idol worshippers. We read of this in Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abram and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took Abram, your father, from beyond the river and led him. So when God calls Abram, it's a call of grace. It isn't because Abram had such a great background. There's nothing in Abram and nothing in his family that prompts God to call him. It's a call of pure grace. And when God builds his kingdom and calls us into it, it's also by his grace alone. And do we recognize God's grace in calling us? Or do we perhaps take it for granted? God's call comes to us today whenever we hear the Scriptures. We today have in the Scriptures so much more than Abram had when God called him. We have the gospel in full color. We have the whole Word of God and the good news of the fulfillment of that Word in Jesus. In Christ, the gospel comes to us with so much more fullness than when it first came to Abram. And yet, in a real sense, it is the same call. God said to Abram, "Follow me." And God says to you and me in Christ, "Follow me." So what does this call involve? God calls Abram to leave all that's familiar to him. All that's dear to Abram, God calls him to leave. His country, his extended family, and even his immediate family, God calls Abram to leave it all behind and head out into the unknown and the unfamiliar. Can you imagine? What are the things that are most dear to you today? Is God calling you to let them go in order to follow Christ? What does God's word say to you about what's primary in God's kingdom? How do the choices that you make in your life line up with the clear guidelines for discipleship that God gives in his word? May God grant us wisdom and grace to order our lives more and more according to his call. Now, here's another aspect of God's call to consider. God calls Abram to let God be the one who determines his entire life's direction. He calls Abram to put every aspect of his life completely into God's hands, to entrust himself to the Lord and to the Lord only. No doubt this was a difficult call for Abram to hear. God calls him to be a pilgrim and a stranger in the world. He calls him to follow, trusting in God for a better inheritance and kingdom than this world promises. For Abram, God's call comes here in the form of a command from the Lord to leave his country and his family. When God calls us, he doesn't necessarily tell us to leave our country and our family in order to follow him. You and I may not be literally called to leave our country for Christ's sake. Some of our fellow brothers and sisters across the world are called to just that because of persecution. But yet we may well be called to great sacrifices for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. Because if, as the Bible says, believers are, we are the children of Abraham, then we may expect to be sharers with Abram, not in the promises of God only. We should also expect that following God's call on our lives will make us like Abram, strangers and aliens in this world that we live in the society we live in. Perhaps even in our own families and church families. Are you ready for that? When we are ordering our lives in obedience to the call of God and not in conformity with the pattern of this world, the world will think we are strange, aliens from another world. But let's not forget the gospel of God's call. Christians are indeed those who have been called out of this world, and that is good news. The way of the world, following the call of the world, is a way that ultimately ends in death, both in this life and in the next. But the way of God, following the call of God, is a way of blessing and abundant life, both in this life and in the next. As Jesus promises in Matthew and in Mark, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake and for the gospel will receive 100-fold now and in the age to come eternal life. So for us, as for Abram, God's call is to follow God at all costs. The flip side of living to God is that we must learn to die to ourselves. So it's true what Jesus says, that whoever finds his life in this life will lose it ultimately. But it's just as true that what Jesus says, that whoever finds his life, or whoever loses his life for my sake, will find it. Both in this life and in the life to come, because he finds it in Jesus. That's what the Lord does in Abram's life with this call to leave his old life and experience a new life with God. There's grace in this call because it's a gospel call. It's a call to live, to have life with God, under God's kingship. Ultimately, that life with God is made possible through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate basis for God's call to Abram as well. The redeeming sacrifice of his son. It's the same basis for the gracious call of the gospel that comes to us today. So God reveals his gospel grace when he calls Abraham. And he also reveals the gospel when he promises blessing to Abram, as we see in our second point. When God calls Abram, he also makes great promises of blessing. And when God calls us, he also makes great promises of blessing. Like God's call, God's gospel promise comes to Abram in a particular form, in a form that's different from the shape in which God's call comes to us today. And the reason for that is Abram lives long before the coming of Christ. When we read about the call of Abram and God's promises to Abram in Genesis 12, we're reading about the very early stages of God's revelation of the gospel. Now that Christ has come, we have the gospel revealed to us in all its clarity in the written word of God. In Abram's day, he didn't have the word of God like we do, because God was only beginning to reveal the gospel in the promises he made to Abram. So we need to realize that the way in which God preached the gospel to Abram before Christ is different than the way he makes his promises to us, who have the full revelation of the gospel in Jesus Christ. But when we recognize this fact, we can at the same time also begin to see how it was in fact the gospel that was being preached to Abram. It's because all the promises that God makes to Abram point ultimately to Christ, in whom all the promises of God are yes and amen. So what are the promises that God makes to Abram? In short, God promises Abram that he will make him into a great nation and make his name great. That's what humanity had tried to do by themselves with the Tower of Babel. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, they said. But now God reveals that he is going to make a kingdom and a name for himself. God says he's going to make a kingdom and a name for himself in this world. That's his plan for redemption that he reveals in his promise to Abram. What must have been the most amazing thing for Abram at the time was that God said that he would do this through Abram. Abram was part of the plan. God says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. God involves Abram in his plan to bless the world. He plans to build his kingdom through Abram. Don't you think that must have sounded incredible, unbelievable to Abram? For one thing, in order to have a nation, you need to have a people. If God's going to make Abram into a nation, that means children. But Abram is 75 years old and without children. And his wife is only about 10 years younger, and she is barren, as we read a few verses before our text. Clearly then, in the promises that God makes to Abram, there's also a call to faith in the God who makes these promises, that he will fulfill them. This is going to have to be a work of God himself. And Abram doesn't even experience the fulfillment of all these promises in his lifetime. We gather that from the rest of the story in Genesis. Abram has to live by faith in the promises of God without seeing the ultimate fulfillment of the promises during his lifetime. Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, Abram greeted the things promised from afar and died without having received them. Maybe you can think of your own life. There's promises that you read in the Bible and it seems like God doesn't fulfill them for you. But that's not, doesn't say anything about God fulfilling his promises or not. Abram greeted the things promised from afar and died without having received them. But that doesn't mean that God fails to keep his promise. In fact, God does fulfill his promises to Abram. God begins to fulfill his promise to Abram first when he brings about the miraculous birth of Isaac in Abram and Sarah's old age, when Abram was 100 years old. With God, all things are possible. And then over the next several hundred years, the Lord forms Abram's family into the nation of Israel. He multiplies Abram's family in Egypt. And he delivers this family from slavery in Egypt. And he makes his covenant with them at Sinai. There at Sinai, the Lord says to Israel, as we read in Exodus 19, "You have seen how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, as once he did their father Abraham. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, if you will follow me and be my faithful disciples, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So the Lord says to Israel at Sinai. The promises which God first makes to Abram, then, which we have in our text, God later carries forward into his covenant with Israel. The Ten Commandments are a kind of national constitution for Israel, which, when followed, will cause Israel to be a blessing, a shining witness to the surrounding nations, and cause the nations even to bless God. Does that sound much like God's promise to Abraham? In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And yet the sad history of Israel reveals that by and large, as a nation, they fall far short in their commission. God remains faithful to his covenant and to his promises throughout Israel's history. It's the story of the Old Testament. But the people of Israel, it's the other part of the story, they break the covenant time and again. It becomes plain that something extraordinary needs to happen if God's promise to Abram is going to be fulfilled through Abram's children, that through him all the families of the earth will be blessed. And something extraordinary has happened. God has sent his son into the world. God's own son became Abram's son. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, is the physical offspring or descendant of Abram. He's also the descendant of David and of Israel. And God fulfills his promises to Abram through Jesus, ultimately. In Christ, God's promises to Abram are fulfilled. Christ kept the covenant perfectly where Israel failed. He followed God perfectly. And he bore the cross of discipleship that we could never bear ourselves. He left the comforts of heaven and his Father's presence to dwell as a pilgrim and a stranger here on earth. And finally, to even be forsaken by the Father himself, exiled from the Father's kingly presence, so that exiles and rebels like you and me can be called back in and one day reinstated as kings and queens under God in the new creation. Christ bore our curse so that we might be truly blessed, and in him also be a conduit of his blessing for the nations around us, as we spread the aroma of Christ and the good news of his kingdom. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 7 to 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The blessing of God that comes to Abraham through faith, and through Abraham to the nations, also through faith. This is ultimately the blessing of blessings. It's what's promised to us in the gospel in Christ. Counted righteous by God and called into communion and fellowship with God through Christ. With all the blessings of salvation that are in Christ. It's the gospel. So we've heard this morning how God's call and promise comes to Abram in Genesis 12 in a particular way and in his particular circumstances. When God calls us, he doesn't necessarily call us to leave our country and family, nor does he promise to make us into a great nation. Abram is called by God and used by God in a special way in the revelation of his plan of redemption. And the revelation ultimately of the Savior, Christ. But Abram's call and promises and the promises God makes to him do reveal the gospel to us, as we've seen. And the gospel comes not only with the promises of God's blessing in Christ. The gospel also comes with the call to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must, each one of us, answer God's call personally. The call of God and the gospel is a personal call, and it demands a personal response. It demands a response from you and me. In the middle of the promises that God makes to Abram, there is a strong warning. When God says in verse 3, him who dishonors you, I will curse. And that there is God's promise that the blessings of salvation are not to be experienced in any other way than by personal faith in Christ. So I ask you today, do you believe in Jesus Christ and in him alone, that you may be blessed? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's an exclusive claim. There's no other way. Apart from reconciliation with God through Christ, we remain under the curse of God that fell on Adam and all his descendants. But having been justified by faith in Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. That is the promise of the gospel, first revealed to Abram, now proclaimed to us, that we might also proclaim it to the world. Amen.